I could also take that opportunity too to just give you a little shout out, but if you know, like if you'd like to play an instrument or you whatever, let me know, because we always need more for the worship team. But I want to take this opportunity now that as Aiden makes his way forward here, so thankful for Aiden's willingness. He actually volunteered for bringing the message today. And so he has grown up here. So I remember Aiden as a baby. So he's not a baby anymore. He's taller than me. So but it is so good that his willingness to come and share the message. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to you, Aiden.
Thank you. All right. Good morning. Everyone doing all right today? All right. So have any of you ever been at a point in your life where you just felt free? You know, maybe you just finished your last exam for like a semester of school and you just say to yourself like, oh yes, like free, like I'm done with this. Or maybe you've just been working on this project that causes a lot of stress and you finish it just like, oh, freedom, right? I don't have to deal with this burden anymore. And there are all sorts of spots where you may find ourselves free. Does everyone here agree that Jesus sets us free? And that statement could not be truer. Even in my own life, I have experienced that freedom from Jesus. He just sets us free in so many ways. Freedom from eternal punishment and condemnation. Freedom from the burden and the shame of sin. He also frees us into so much. Freedom into a super personal, intimate relationship with Him. Freedom into a fulfilling, satisfying life. Freedom to worship Him. Freedom to live according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Which we're going to dive into the freedom that we have in Jesus, which I'm super excited for. And I hope that the Holy Spirit is working and present in this time. So let's go ahead and I'm going to pray and then we'll dive in. Yeah, Father, You're just so holy, so righteous, so pure, and so kind. And we just put our hope in Your word and do not forget Your decrees. God, I pray over our time here, Holy Spirit, that You are present in this room, that this message is Your message. And not my own. But I am not speaking, but You are speaking through me. Lord, because I know You have so much to reveal to us. And I pray that Your message moves us, that it touches us. Lord, I pray that our hearts are softened towards You. That Holy Spirit, we are sensitive to You, not only in this time, but we are sensitive to You all the time. Lord, I love You and praise You. And in Your Son's name I pray, amen. All right, so we're going to start with this super powerful section from Romans 8, 1 to 17 to be specific. And this section really shows us like the freedoms that we have because of Christ. So I'm going to read it. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open it up and follow along. It'll also be up on the screen as well. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Whew. Okay, so that is a super thick, rich piece of text. And there's a lot in there that describes the freedom that we have in Christ. So there are a few points of freedom in this text. And the first one that we really see, and the first one that's we really have freedom because of Jesus, is seen in chapter 8, verse 1, freedom from condemnation. Freedom from condemnation. And the Greek word for condemnation is this word, katakrima, and it means penalty, punishment, or doom. And the agony of that punishment we deserve is made very clear and vivid in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, which I'm going to share a little bit with you starting in Luke 16 to 22. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father, Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water so that and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Okay, and you see in this passage from Luke the words the rich man uses to describe hell: a place of torment, a place where he's in agony, where he longs for Lazarus to just dip the tip of his finger in water so his tongue may be cooled for just a second. And when the rich man realizes that he is eternally punished in this place of torment, he at least hoped that Lazarus could warn his family members, because he knows that his family members are doomed to this place as well, and does not want them in the pain and agony that he is in. And like, this is terrible. Nothing but suffering and complete separation from God and death. And we are all condemned to this. And the only way one is not doomed is if he's perfect. For all it takes is one stumble to be considered unclean, unrighteous, and unholy. For James 2:10 states, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all." There is no good enough, no close enough. You're either perfect or not perfect, because God is perfect and cannot coexist with imperfection. And if you are not perfect, then you are condemned for eternity. And with one sin, we are stained with sin and cannot remove that stain. For we are all condemned to this place of torment, which is really bad news for humanity. But there is good news. Jesus comes, right, lives a perfect life, and then dies on the cross. And here's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us: "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God." So Jesus literally became and embodied what sin was, and he was punished as sin deserved to be punished. Like, crucifixion was horrible. I've never experienced it, but from seeing the way it is described, I can tell that it is horrible. And not only did Jesus die, but he was abandoned, he was mocked, humiliated, and suffered in the process. But then he rose on the third day, and this was done so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Even says there in Romans 8:3-4, "And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us." And like, isn't that beautiful, right? The stain of sin we have, like, that we cannot remove, it's been covered. It's been clothed in Jesus' righteousness. Jesus has defeated sin, and the requirement of the law has been fully met in us through him. And when God looks at us, he looks at us with the righteousness of Jesus. And therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as Romans 8:1 says. And as to receive this freedom from Jesus, Romans 10:9-10 simply tells us, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." And through this we are free, like through our faith and confession, we are free from condemnation and punishment. And as disciples of Jesus, we are called to be obedient to his commands and to remain faithful and to show our faith through obedience. Luke 6:46, like Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" When we declare Jesus our Lord, we are now called to be obedient to him. Some ways we can be obedient is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love others as well. As Jesus told us in Matthew, these are the two greatest commands. We can also be obedient through the Great Commission, right? "Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And we can also be obedient to the Father in living in righteousness, repenting and turning away from sin. And this leads to our next point, is that another freedom that we have in Jesus is freedom from sin. Freedom in, and also freedom into a righteous life, freedom from the shame of sin, and freedom to pursue the righteousness and sanctification through the Holy Spirit. Like it is said in Romans 8, we now no longer live of the flesh, which is hostile to God, unable to please God and is death itself. But now we live of the Spirit, which actually lives in us, which gives us life because of righteousness and frees us from the shame of sin. Even in my own life, for so much of my life, I would feel like shame for my sins. I would feel like I am just bad and unholy and broken because of my sins and allow the enemy to lead me into a place of shame. And when we sin, the enemy really likes to box us in the corner, devour us, make us feel shame. And let me share this verse with you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The enemy does not only want to lead us into sin and fall and stumble, but he also wants to just devour us in the process. He wants to accuse us, make us feel so much shame that we feel broken and without any hope of being free from our sins. So be aware of that if you find yourself stumble. And do not let the enemy lead you into shame where he accuses you of being a sinner that cannot be fixed and cannot be free, that we are chained forever. That's what the enemy tells us. And that is what our old selves are. Our old selves are hopeless, slaves to sin. And I was saying before, I believe so much of my life I was so not free from sin because I stumbled at some points, that I was defined by those sins, identified by those sins. But Jesus breaks those chains. He's freed us from sin itself. And our old selves are dead now. They have been crucified with him. Look at Romans 6:6-7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. It says right there, we are free from sin because we were crucified with him. No matter what struggles you have gone through or where you are right now, you are just free in Jesus. Like, our sinful self is gone. And not only are we free from sin, we're free to continue to pursue the Lord and live a godly life. He has set us free to walk in freedom. For Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And it is through him and relying on him we can walk in our freedom, not of ourselves. And Jesus set us free from condemnation and from sin so that we can continue to be free and live a free life. And a little further down in this chapter, starting at verse 13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And if we use our freedom to indulge in the flesh, which includes sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, selfish ambition, fits of rage, drunkenness, along with others, if we use our freedom to indulge in these things, we're going to find ourselves slaves to sin, giving the enemy a chance to try and fill us with shame. And you'll give the enemy a chance to make us feel hopeless. But the good news is that even if that happens, Jesus still has that freedom for us. And there is still freedom in him. And an opportunity to repent and turn away from our sins and towards him. And live in this freedom. Freedom to live according to the Spirit. Freedom to serve God. Freedom to serve each other. Freedom to grow closer to him. And that is what has helped me tremendously. When I shifted my focus from trying to not sin or trying to beat sin or trying to outdo sin, trying to grow closer to Jesus. With the focus being on Jesus and with that positive thinking mindset, I was definitely less likely to stumble. Because if you're focused on Jesus and growing closer to him, then you're automatically turning away from sin. Because Jesus and sin are polar opposites. The closer you grow to Jesus, the more you will walk in freedom that he has provided for you. And the less sin will be present in your life. And vice versa as well. And it's insane how that works, but I know that when I'm depending on Jesus, relying on Jesus, spending time with Jesus, growing closer to Jesus, sin kind of just starts to automatically go away. And I'm not even necessarily thinking about it. And it also helps me when I live by the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And through this we find a life, a peaceful, fulfilling, joyful, and eternal life. And we have freedom into that, which is just so beautiful. How good, how kind, and how loving is our God to send his son to die so that we have this freedom. Like, no matter who you are or what you've done, we have freedom to pursue righteousness and to be righteous because of him. Okay, last point. Not only does Jesus free us from condemnation and from sin and into a new righteous life, but he also frees us into a new identity. And I'm going to share Romans 8:14-17 one more time. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings that we may also share in his glory. And this is just so beautiful. God looks at us and he defines us as his children. Heirs to the throne, co-heirs with Christ. When we accept Jesus, the Father sees us as he sees Jesus, clothed in his perfect righteousness. And there are a lot of people to this day who have met Jesus, have an active relationship with Jesus, and would still say, I am a sinner. And let me tell you, you are free from that identity. Look at Romans 5:6-8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And when you look at the end there, it says, like, while we were still sinners. And that is past tense. That is what our old selves are. That is how our old selves were identified. But our old selves are dead. They've been crucified with him. And we are no longer sinners because of that. And that does not mean that we will never sin again. You know, we might stumble at some points. However, there is this analogy that I heard, and it, like, changed my life. So I'm going to share it with you. Your ability to sin does not make you a sinner, just as your ability to bark like a dog does not make you a dog. Yeah, go ahead, let that sink in a minute. Your ability to sin does not make you a sinner, just like your ability to bark like a dog does not make you a dog. And it might be funny, but there's actually a lot of truth in that. We are no longer sinners because of Christ, because of what he did that identifies us. We are now defined through him and not through ourselves when we accept him. You know, what did Jesus call those that he healed them? Like, to the woman that had been bleeding for 12 years, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. He did not call her sinner. He did not call her bleeding woman or unclean, but he called her daughter. She was not identified by her sins or her disease, but as a child of God. When Jesus heals a paralyzed man, he says, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. He did not call him a sinner or cursed or unworthy of Jesus because he was paralyzed. He identified him by son and forgave his sins. And let's be honest, we are all unworthy of Jesus. It does not take a disease or for us to be paralyzed to recognize that. We are all unworthy of Jesus, undeserving, and yet he died for us because he loved us. And because of it, we are now free from condemnation. We are free from sin, free into a completely new life because our old selves have been crucified. Free into a new identity, a completely new person that is not identified by our sins or anything we have done, but is identified through him. And let me go back to Romans 5:6-8. And you see where it says that he died for the ungodly. He didn't die for us because we were righteous or because we were even good. Because we were not righteous, we were not godly. We were sinners when we depended on ourselves. But he did it out of love, that we might become righteous, that we might become free. He literally died for freedom. And this freedom is not possible without his sacrifice, with what he did on the cross. Beaten, you know, he was spit on, he was mocked, he suffered, he was abandoned, he was alone, and ultimately he died. For he became sin that knew no sin, that we might inherit the righteousness of God. And I think of Barabbas, you know, how we were just so similar to Barabbas, the prisoner that actually committed the crime, the one that should have been crucified, the one that should have died, not Jesus. The one whose place Jesus took, he took our place because we could not be free on our own, because he loved us so much. And all of us can have that freedom through him. He died for you personally, as personal as if you were the only person in the world, so that you could be free. And then my last message for you all is this: I want you to know that you are loved. He proved his love for us because of his willingness to die for us. And if you are sitting here today and you've accepted Jesus and have an active relationship with him, you are just so loved. If you're sitting here today and are unsure about this Jesus guy, don't really know what to think of him or know how he loves you or has set you free, you're so loved, right? And if you're sitting here today and thinking like, I want to follow Jesus, I want to give my life to him, but I need to clean up my life first. For right now, I can't accept Jesus because I'm not good enough or worthy enough or whatever. I want you to know that you are so loved. And if that is you, I also want you to know that Jesus never died for you because you were worthy. Right? He never died for you because you would get there one day, or that one day you would be worthy and deserving of him. Like, we will never be worthy and deserving of him. Not apart from him, at least. He never died for you because you were righteous. He never died for you because you would try harder to be righteous. He never died for you because you deserved it. He died for you because he loved you. He has already proven his unconditional love for us because he died for us despite our brokenness and impurity. And we know that we can approach him with freedom and confidence because he loves us, not for the good things we've done or because we're good people, but because he created us and wants us to be his children. He died for you because you needed him to. Because without him, there is no life for us, but with him, there is life. And he died to set you free. Right? Freedom from condemnation, freedom from the shame of sin, freedom into a new identity. And that through him we would become righteous, we would become holy, that we would be made perfect, just as he was perfect. So let's go ahead and close with prayer. Yeah, God, we love you a lot. you've been so good, so kind to all of us. Jesus, and you've set us free. You set us free in so many ways, Jesus, because you loved us. Greater is no love than to lay one's life down for one's friends. And you demonstrated that, Jesus. And you did it so that we could be free. We would be free from the eternal punishment and condemnation that we would all be condemned to otherwise, right? We are free from sin itself. We are free to continue to pursue a righteous life and be sanctified by you, Holy Spirit. And that you've even freed us into a new identity, that we don't have to be identified by anything else other than the fact that we're your children. And that is who we are. We're not doctors or lawyers or teachers or engineers. We're children of God. Like, that is our identity. Yeah, Lord, and I just love you a lot, and I praise you. It's in your son's name that I pray. Amen.